Welcome to the Matt Morgan Coaching Podcast. The fact that you're listening means you're ready to be inspired and empowered to take your life, love, and leadership to the next level.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Today, we're talking about Enneagram Type 4, the romantic or the individualist. And I have with me today my dear friend, Keely Van Essen. Keely is, as we were just talking about earlier before the podcast, a very healthy 4 and a dear friend of mine and amazing woman. So Keely, thank you for joining us and sharing your story with us today.
You're so welcome, Matt.
Well, hey, before we get going, I want to give some descriptions for those of you who are a type 4, or maybe you're engaged or married or dating a type 4. Here are some descriptions of what a lot of 4s say they are and the way they operate. Number one, I like things that are unconventional, dramatic, and refined. I'm definitely not a fan of the ordinary. I never really felt like I belonged. I have so many feelings in a day, it's hard for me to know which ones to pay attention to first. Some people think I'm aloof, but I'm really just unique. In social situations, I tend to hang back and wait for others to approach me. Melancholy is an emotion I'm most comfortable with. So it's annoying for me when people try to cheer me up. I'm not like everyone else, thank goodness. I'm very sensitive to criticism, and it takes me a while to get over it. I spend a lot of time trying to explain myself. When people tell me what to do, I'm often tempted to do the opposite. Sometimes I just disappear and go radio silent for a few days. I'm really okay with sad songs, sad stories, sad movies. I mean, overly happy people, they actually give me a headache. I feel that there is something essentially lacking in me at times. It's really hard for me to settle into a relationship because I'm always looking for my ideal soulmate. I'm self-conscious. It's hard for me to find my place in a room full of people. People say I'm too intense and my feelings overwhelm them at times. I'm either an artist or highly creative. I come up with one amazing creative idea after another. It's executing them that can be difficult sometimes. Lots of people misunderstand me and it makes me frustrated. I can pull people in, but then I get nervous and I can push them away. I worry a lot about abandonment. So those are some descriptions of type 4. But remember, the way we find our Enneagram type is less about behavior and it's more about core motivation. And the core motivation for type 4 is to desire to be unique, to be special, and to be authentic. And so as a result, even just that motivation for a lot of 4s have a hard time even liking the Enneagram. They're like, are you trying to put me in a box? Like, no way. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I see that. And I see that so much in type 4s of like, I don't necessarily resonate with that, or I disagree. And so there's an authenticity and a uniqueness that comes out. And so Keely, I'm curious for you, when you hear about some of those descriptions, you hear about the motivation of a type 4, how does that resonate for you in your own life?
I mean, I think the relational side, like I do like to be highly intimate and relational, and I don't back down in relationships or when things get too close. I actually step in. Maybe that's my 3 or some other part of me. But I do say I am highly creative. I live to create. I live to create an alternate universe and live in a fairy tale. I love always seeing beauty and thinking I'm in a movie. Like, that is true. Every day I want to make a moment. And I think that's some part of the 4 that just like captivates me all the time.
Yeah. And how does that look practically? Like, give an example of that, because that's so beautiful. And these are things that I love about 4s. And I'm kind of curious what you love about being a 4.
Wow. Truly, like, if I want to make dinner, I want it to be a moment. Like, everyone is having an experience on their tongue. It's creating community. Like, it's this whole dynamic experience. Or like doing things with the kids. It's not just mundane. It's special.
Oh, yeah.
So any holiday, it's over the top into a fairy tale experience. And so
my very first time I ever went to your house, my daughter was playing with your daughter And I go over there, and it wasn't that they were just hanging out. You had an easel, and they were painting a parrot or something. It was like a paint by numbers, and it was like this romantic setting and this beautiful connection. I was like, holy cow, like, yeah. They didn't just like jump on a trampoline, although they did. They like had an incredible experience. Yeah. And that's your gift that you bring to the table, which is so cool.
Yeah.
And fours love beauty. They love creativity. They love authenticity. And I know for you, authenticity within relationships, that matters most. I mean, fours are so good with connection emotionally. How does that work for you with emotions and relationships?
Yeah, I think it's tricky because deep down there's high expectations for people to bring their most authentic self. And I feel disappointed when people don't do that. It takes a lot of energy for me to wait around. So that's where it's a little bit different. I can bring my most authentic self immediately.
Yeah.
And I kind of expect people to do that too, but I have to remind myself I haven't earned their trust.
Yeah.
I haven't. So I don't know. It's really tricky in relationship.
Yeah. Actually, like, why won't you open up? Why aren't you just honest? Why don't you just share? Why are you so guarded?
Or are you feeling this with me right now? Like, are you in this moment? Because it's pretty great. And they're not at all. It's just practical. And I think that sometimes is a letdown, specifically in marriage.
Hmm.
Like, my sweet husband's like, what, like this song, do you want me to like, is there a moment that we shared? And I go, but it's a moment right now. So I think that's also where I'm always having to be brought down to reality a little bit. And that's okay. But I like to bring up people also into a really neat, beautiful space too. But there's that tension for me.
Yeah, for sure. I know your husband, Seth, he's a 9, and we're going to interview him as well on this podcast. And so both of you healthy in your own regard. But it is so beautiful. So many fours say that, you know, when they have emotion, even what you see is not always what you get. Like, you have more emotion inside of you than what we even might know or see. Is that true of you, or are you even aware of all the different feelings that you have? A lot of fours say they are. Some fours are like, I don't have necessarily words or adjectives to describe what I'm feeling, but I'm feeling a lot.
Oh no, I truly feel, I think, every spectrum of emotion every single day. And like, I can give you an example from Thanksgiving with my family. We were a Sus family. And several of the siblings were connecting, and I felt left out. And I went from this whole spectrum of grief, you know, within 2 hours of just feeling left out and dismissed and unknown and unseen. And I had to go through this whole mental, like, counseling session of being like, no. They love you. They see you. This is not about you. But being a four, it's exhausting sometimes because I feel every spectrum sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's overwhelming. And I have to like pause and reset and then be like, oh, I'm loved. They love me. Just wasn't that moment. So does that make sense?
That is extremely healthy. You're actually doing your own self-counseling.
Yeah.
Of what am I feeling? Grief. Yeah. That is a very common emotion.
Yeah.
Melancholy, that which is the happiness of being sad. You know, some people are like, you know, it's like, wow, they feel like Debbie Downers or something, but fours are okay with pain. They're okay with sadness. They're okay with not being okay and allowing that to happen. And, you know, fours are in the triad, like twos, threes, and fours of feeling and shame.
Yeah.
So twos are hyper aware of other people's feelings. Threes are like me. I'm a three. We're feeling repressed. And fours are hyper aware of their feelings. Like, you ask a four what they think, chances are they'll start by telling you how they feel.
Yeah.
And one of their favorite feelings is melancholy. But I'm curious, like, when you look at this word shame, shame is something that happens deep within our bones. And so this can affect relationships because twos, threes, and fours all struggle with shame, but in a different way. For fours, a lot of fours say their shame comes out in the fear that they are fundamentally broken and that the love they long for so much, they're never going to get. And and so it feels like sometimes they'll be in a relationship and it's like they're judging other people's judgments about them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I don't know that I'm really ever going to get this relationship, or do you really love me? Or I don't really know. And so we mm-hmm. can end up pushing people away because we're fearing that maybe they don't like us or we don't like them. And so we'll go radio silent or push them away. How does that impact you, that shame side?
So it's funny when you say the word shame, immediately I'm like, I don't feel shame. Shame, that's no. But when you look at the breakdown of shame, my deepest struggle in relationship is to know if I'm loved mm-hmm. and if I'm wanted. And so it's this cycle of like, do I need a repair? Do I need to connect more? Do I need to make other people feel seen and known? Because the truth is, like, I struggle with being seen and known, yeah. which is the deep underlying thing of shame. My husband and I's biggest breakdown is when I don't feel loved by him. So we're like, hey, I'm feeling disconnected. I'm feeling unloved. Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
And he's so patient because he's a peacemaker.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, let's talk about it. Let's mend this, you know, but that's a lot for him to hold. Like, I see it because it's a lot. For people that aren't okay with those emotions, they feel offended. Like, oh, you're projecting, you're offending me. Like, and I'm going, no. I just want to have this deep connection. And I want to know I'm right with you. I'm loved by you because I love you. And I think that's that constant struggle.
It's so interesting. As we started, like, you went right into relationships, which is really the core.
Yeah.
For fours. It's mm-hmm. like, am I loved by you? Am I connected yeah. by you? And so a lot of fours, because of their shame of wondering if they're fundamentally broken, they can do this push-pull rhythm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you ever experienced this in yourself with friends or not, and not every four does, but some people will be like, I want you. And then they get hurt or they feel insecure or they feel their shame and they push you away. And or it feels like maybe you want to be understood by them. And so they'll push you away. Does that resonate with you at all as a four with friends or your husband?
Yeah, I think a lot. When I was younger, very much so. I think now I have a greater self-awareness to kind of work with friendships now and be like, hey, let's talk through this. Was there something I did or said? Or am I asking too much of you? I think I am quicker to step into those conversations before people are starting to retreat. Because mm-hmm. I'm really, again, okay with sitting in a lot of hard and yucky feelings to repair. And most people would like to avoid those feelings and just ignore the repair.
Yeah. You know, for me, that's one of the things that I love most about fours is mm-hmm. that you're willing to sit in the pain and the awkwardness and the struggle mm-hmm. and... You know, it's like if your dog dies, like, don't call a seven. You know, a seven's going to be like, well, you're free to move about the country. You know, you never have to get a dog sitter again. You know, it's like they're going to have a silver lining. But what I love about fours is they're not going to try to sugarcoat something. They'll just be with you.
Yeah.
And presence is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And fours are so good with that. Like, I'm willing to stay in the pain and the struggle for you. And I love that. I think that's such a gift. And it's, you have that. Yeah. And so I know, you know, it's like, I'm sure Seth has probably been coached by you to like, hey, what are you feeling? And we're going to put a lot of adjectives to that. And we're going to figure out what are these words that you feel. And so you really help us get to a depth of understanding ourselves. I'm a three, so I'm feeling repressed, right? So like, it's like, what are you feeling? Yeah. I don't know. We're good. Is that even relevant? Like, that's not efficient. Let's move forward, right? And that's not going to help me achieve. Like, and so fours are great of being able to allow that space where it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
And I love that so much about fours. That's cool. When you think about, you know, every shadow side of it, every number has a shadow side. And the shadow side for the four is envy. Envy is different than jealousy. Envy says, I want what you have. And this is predicated out of shame. right? I feel like I'm never going to get what you have. And so, and I think you did a really good job too earlier saying like, yeah, earlier in my life, I think we really find our Enneagram number, especially on the unhealthy side, in our 20s.
Oh, for sure.
Yes. In our early 20s.
Yes.
And we're still trying to figure out who we are and what does this look like. And hopefully as we get older, we become more healthy as you are. But envy is like, yeah, there's something off. No one understands me. I wish I had this thing, but I'm never going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Jealousy is different. It involves three. It's like, I have something and I fear I'm going to lose it.
Yes.
And so that's different. How has envy played out for you within your life?
I mean, if you want me to go specific, like my envy comes out with my health. And my health has been, and I probably it's because I'm a four and I feel and I'm so in tune to my body that things are more apparent than they should be. So when I have layers and layers of health struggles, I'm always struggling with envy of not being whole and not being able to do what other people do. And so that's paralyzing and crippling for me.
Yeah.
But I think trying to be hopeful, optimistic, and edging into my three, which is my wing we'll go to later, keeps me productive on keeping a healthier perspective.
Yeah,
but my envy comes a lot. It presents through my body and with my health struggles. Not so much with like, I want that relationship or I want those connections.
Yeah.
I think there's, as I've aged, there's been this satisfaction with those attributes in relationships.
Yeah.
But it's more like internal self stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you have a wonderful marriage. And so you have these things and a wonderful family and wonderful friends. So you don't lack that.
Yeah.
And so where you, those of you listening, you might be thinking like, oh man, you know, like I got another four friend that is single and they're looking at my relationship and they're like, oh, it seems like you have a perfect relationship and woe is me. I'm never going to have that.
Right.
And their inner Eeyore comes out. Right. It's like, and so, but yeah, you are a very optimistic type four and so you have some seven in you and so there's really three different types of fours. These are called subtypes and it's not like you have one of these, but not the other. It's more like a three layered cake. Like the top layer is most like you. The bottom layer is least like you.
Yeah.
And those are the self-preservation, the social, and the sexual, or one-on-one. And so the self-preservation four actually is the counter-type four, meaning they actually don't look like a four that much because they don't really share their pain that much. They are realizing that that doesn't always connect to people in love. And so I just need to like grit and bear it. So they're more long sufferers. And so that's that type. The social four is the one really connected to pain, really connected to shame. And so will be more vocal in their pain and their struggle. They can go radio silent and push you away too, but they want to get love by sharing pain. And then the sexual, well, the social is actually very more comparative. They compare in their envy of like what I have versus what I don't. If I just had that body or that thing, then I would be fine. And then the sexual is way more competitive. It's a compete element. And so the best way to share pain is like make other people feel pain. They actually look a lot more like an eight.
Yes.
On the Enneagram. They're way more aggressive. And so if I hurt, I'm going to make you hurt. And so when you look at yourself between those, do any of those resonate with you between those subtypes, the self-preservation, the social, or the sexual?
Oh, I am like, I would, a lot of people would assume I'm more of a social just because I am open, but I'm truly a self-preservation, preserving.
And why do you say that?
I can hold things so deeply and suffer very long in hard friendships, in, you know, health stuff, in just any form of trial. Like I can hold that deeply and live in that tough. Like I had a job for 4 years that was absolutely miserable. Like everyone in my life, but there was this deep end goal, this bigger picture thing that I knew I had to finish and I had to write out, even though it was hard. And I could do that and I could hold it and still present and be present in my life with everyone. Whereas a lot of people would like, you know, growl and moan and complain all the time. I think I can hold all of that deeply and sit through it.
Yeah. That's interesting. You talk about work too, because for some fours, they say like work's tough in relationships because they're maybe creating something and doing something very unique. And then if you have to be part of a team, mm-hmm. it can be really challenging, because what if the team creates criticism mm-hmm. or feedback or want to change something? That can be tough for some fours. Some fours are like a graphic designer and it's like, here I am. I slaved away, did this thing. I created something beautiful. And then you guys had these tweaks and I don't like those tweaks. So some fours are like, okay, they huff and puff. You're like, fine, if you like that, that's whatever, but don't put my name on it. You know, like, how has that impacted you as a four within a work environment?
That's so funny. I think I love that because it's like I can identify with all of those. I think when I present ideas and I feel like I just gave the best presentation of my life and everybody was giving me visual feedback, they liked it, and then later they didn't use it at all. To me, that is like a die to my soul. Mm. But because I can go internally, sort out those emotions, I grieve deeply. Like it is a grievance to me, whereas other people would be like, nah, no big deal, try again. To me, it's kind of like a dying of my creativity. Mm. But then I reboot and I'm like, all right, you know, it's like I have to go through a mourning period. And then I reset. But I don't express that to many people or anyone. I think that's where my separation of relationship would happen. Mm. Again, in my early 20s, I would vocalize and realize that would divide relationship. So now I've learned, hey, like you can still have those feelings. They're okay. That's how you're wired. But I don't need to explode or vomit all of those on other people.
Wow. Well said.
Right?
Yeah.
So
be aware, internally connect, but I don't have to just like say whatever I'm feeling and just let it just emotionally vomit, because that will hurt relationships.
Yeah.
On the flip side, what would you want to say to people who are not fours, especially in a work environment when the four is like, oh my gosh, like this is sensitive and now you're giving feedback, you know, or it feels like being critical to the four? How would you advise non-fours to communicate to protect a four's heart?
I think that's great. I love that you asked that. I think just taking a pause and being like, hey, Matt, that was really creative. We love this, this, and this about it, but we're going to take it. So just acknowledging the effort, the creativity, the uniqueness of whatever was presented. I know that sounds high maintenance, but in a four's perspective, that's still feeling known and seen, even though it wasn't used. And that's going to keep harmony.
That is
and
awesome.
That grievance won't be as deep. It'll be like, oh, okay, they still see me, value me.
Yeah.
I'm still part of this team.
Yep.
You know?
Huge.
Yeah.
That's so good. You know, I'm curious within, you know, you talked about wings and you kept talking about a three wing. A four has two different wings, meaning two other numbers that you resonate with behaviorally. In between the four is the three and the five. And five is the investigator. So very cerebral. A four wing five is very unique because they're actually quite opposite. Yes. Fives detach from emotion and just go in their brain. So a wing five is very unique, but a wing three is probably more aligned for probably what a lot of fours are. Not everybody though. So there's a variation. The three is the achiever performer. It sounds like you got more of that wing three.
Oh, I am
in you.
Yeah. Like, yes, I'm very strong, strong three. And I love it.
Yeah. So the achiever side of you.
Yeah.
You create some of the best parties. I've been to one of your murder mystery parties and I was blown away, not only from your warm welcome and the way you connect, but the way you set the scene, right? You actually had a physical, like, you know, like quote unquote dead body, you know, like your center island was like black velvet, you know, like, I mean, the whole environment was amazing. You're like, wait till you see my Christmas party. You know, it's like you create this entire thing of beauty and connection And you achieve that task. And it's like, you see that four creativity, that beauty with the wing three in there. It's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, it's fun.
And so you definitely have a gift. And so, but there's two other numbers that fours connect with as well. Mm-hmm. And these are numbers of stress and security. And so if you look at, if you guys listening and you pull up a Google image of the Enneagram, you're going to see all these arrows. And when the arrow points towards your number, that is where you go in security, in your happy place. And if the arrow goes away from your number, that's where you go in stress. And so for type fours, their security number, the arrow pointing toward them is type one.
Yes.
And the type one is the perfectionist or the reformer. And so a lot of fours say, yeah, when I'm doing well, I have structure.
Yes.
I have order. I have perfection in my creativity. How does the type one resonate specifically for you?
Yeah, I love, I know when I am in my type one lane, because I am on point with discipline. I'm on point with organization. I feel healthy rhythms in my life. And I really want to achieve goals. Like, I'm not waffling. And so there's just this really strong connectedness to like myself and my reality. And I think that's where ones, like, it helps me like stay on point, keep moving forward, progressing and learning, progressing relationships. It's just very clear.
You know, in regard to the other number, the stress number is when the arrow goes away from you, you go to type two. And type two is the lover, the nurturer, the caretaker. Type twos are more focused on other people, which is interesting because a four is oftentimes focused on their own emotion, on their own self. And so in stress, sometimes it can feel for fours like, I have to try to serve you and not meet my own needs so that I get love from you. And that can feel stressful. Yeah. Does that ever happen to you?
Sure. I mean, the interesting thing, again, we're all created so uniquely. For years, my whole family loves the Enneagram. And for years, I identified with the two, because I truly present as incredibly self-serving, not self-serving, serving. And I love to just shower people with love. I think learning more, I have been in a stress state for years, like a lot of years. And so I do struggle with trying to earn that love back. Like, I serve to earn. And I never thought I was doing that until I started realizing the kind of foundation of our relationships with certain people and who I'm like over serving.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I need to pivot that now, because I still love them and I want to serve them, but I need to change my motivation. So it is a self-check, but
Those of you listening, I want you to just lean into what she just said is this self-check. The question is, why am I doing what I'm doing?
Right.
Why am I serving right now? What is the motivation? I'm trying to get love, but it's from a place of stress. There's a growth side of being other-centered, which you are. People think you're a two, and you have that with no string attached at times when you're healthy, right? But it's like, okay, I'm doing this because I'm feeling insecure. I'm trying to get love, and there is a string attached. Okay, well, that's me in stress right now. What can I do about that? Another side, the growth side of that is, I'm in my two. Others do matter, and I want to care for them, and that's healthy, but there's no string attached. Out of a place of love for myself, I want to love others. And I think that's the interesting thing, because the wounding message around envy is that I'm fundamentally broken. And so the healing message of type four is, I am loved for who I am. And unique in every way. And I think when a four actually believes that, out of the overflow of their life will come a natural serving of other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But how do you actually get there? How do you actually, like, it's really easy to simulate. Let's just talk about flowers and fun to talk. But like, how do you go from the space of that shame and that envy to, no, I actually believe that I'm loved and that I'm unique? How is that taken root for you in your own life? And that's a journey for sure.
Well, it's a journey. I think, honestly, Matt, faith is such a huge practice in my life. And I think because of faith, it helps you self-reflect deeply. And journaling to me is a tool that I process, like, because it takes time. You can think, but if you put pen to paper, it slows your brain down to articulate what's going on in your brain. And I think taking time to like self-reflect and articulate what you're feeling, what's reality, what's perspective, and then press in to try to seek healing in those areas and growth. And then having people in your life being like, hey, how am I doing with this? Instead of like living on an island and thinking you can do it by yourself. I think that's been helpful for me in counseling. Because as a four, I feel so much. And I think there's just been a lot of things in my life that could tank me or can make me, I guess is that silly saying. But yeah. I wanted to work through it all and not carry it as baggage.
Man, that is so powerful. You've given us some really good specific things, right? We have counseling, we have journaling, we have in communication with people. You might feel a lot, but you don't have to react, you know, or create drama in situations, and we can still process. We can connect deeply with people. There's, that's some really good specific next steps. And then obviously your faith has been a huge piece for you to get through and actually believe the story. And I think for all of us, there's a devil's advocate that says like, that's just something losers say to make themselves feel better about themselves. Or that's just something that, you know, people who are not loved want to make them. It's like, what can you say to get behind the truth that you are loved for who you are and you are unique? And you can sit and rest in that. So really good question, I think, for all fours to spend some time processing. And it takes, like counseling, you know, scientists say it takes at least 150 times minimum to hear a new story before you even begin to believe it emotionally.
Wow.
So we have a neural pathway that says you're never going to have that. You're I mean, how many times, fours listening, have you heard self-conscious, subconsciously or consciously, you're never going to have that. You're never going to be as good as that. You're never going to have that love. And so it's like, that's just been bushwhack. You know, it's like a neural pathway. It's like hiking the Chautauqua Trail in Boulder, Colorado. And it's like so easy to get to. Why? Because hundreds of thousands or millions of people have gone on that trail. Yeah. It's easy to find because you just, that's where you go.
Yeah.
So to create a new neural pathway is work. It's you got to bushwhack a new trail in your brain. And so it's worth the journaling to put pen to paper, to slow down. I love that. And then to be able to see it multiple times a day.
Yeah.
You know, maybe for some of you, it's taking out your phone and putting an automatic reminder at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. every day. You know, I am loved for who I am.
Yeah.
And take 5 seconds to absorb the meaning and truth behind that.
Yeah.
It will impact your life in a huge way. Well, Keely, thank you so much for sharing your story and your journey as a four. And for those of you listening, I hope you have some really good next steps that you can take with you as you become the healthiest version of yourself. So thanks again for joining us.
You're so welcome. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Morgan Coaching Podcast. Subscribe below, share it with your friends, and if you want to take your life, love, or leadership to the next level, check us out online at mattmorgan.com.